When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go.
I'll make you famous. Kevin Israel, host! Name that film.
Bill just threw me off with his with his stovepipe hat.
Yeah, what are you talking about? This is what I always wear.
Why am I blanking on the name? The Mark Wahlberg porn movie.
Oh no.
Boogie Nights.
Oh. Boogie Nights, yeah. That's what
not even close. Not even close.
Israel, I had so much respect for you. I don't know which ones of these are going to go up first. I don't know if it's going to be.
I don't either.
Or what you did to Iron Man. I had so much respect for you. You just lost it all. That would be Young Guns.
Or Young Guns too. I would accept it. But yes, correct.
No, I believe. Yeah.
Can I tell you? I'm going to get in so much trouble for this.
Never seen Young Guns one or two. Oh my
God. They hold up, man. They're good.
I rewatched both recently. One is not good, but enjoyable. Two is also not good, but enjoyable. They're fine.
I love them.
I would say I love them.
I don't know why I never watched them, because I do like Westerns and all those guys were of the moment. I never saw it.
I think that's why you didn't want to watch it, because they were all of the moment. And that might have been a problem. Because they got all the hot young actors. And here's the thing about Young Guns. And you know me, I'm a dork, aside from what the hat would suggest. I mean, obviously, this guy gets laid.
We can't tip
very historically accurate. From beginning to end, they are both of those Billy the Kid movies are very historically accurate, which they didn't have to be, but they were. I love Young Guns. I love them both.
Maybe it threw you off because they had rock music playing throughout both films in their westerns.
New Jersey's pride. Yeah. Stop by the way, you know that the steel horse that he rides, he's talking about his motorbike. I don't know if you're aware of that. Yes.
I figured.
Just kidding.
I thought it was his dildo.
No better way to start.
Making everything.
Anywho.
Remember this is a chainsaw dildo from Naked Gun 2.5, also recently on cable. I get sucked in every time to that.
Oh, it's good. No, the Naked Gun 2 holds up. Yeah.
Frank, Ed, Red Van, Ed. Yes, Frank, I know. Classic. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, Bill Schultz, and boy, oh boy, Bill has been itching like Charlie Sheen looking for a fix to do this film. If you've seen his post on Twitter, you know he's quite the aficionado. Bill has decided that, you know what? Gangs of New York ain't all what it's cracked up to be. A budget in 2002 of $97 million, a box office haul of $193.8 million. 2024 money, $168.4 budget, $344.2 box office. Huh. I knew it was a success. I thought it was a bigger success financially than what
right.
it was.
Agreed.
Saw us in the theater as well. Okay, IMDb boys, 1 through 10 with decimal points. Going to go to you, Kevin Israel, first.
Oh, this has to have 9.5.
Bill Schultz.
Oh God, I'd say 7.5.
7.5 is right on the money.
Wow, those really? Shows
I swear to God, I didn't look that up. Here I look like I'm again. Cheating. I never look it up, but I just real. Know it's got oh, mixed. Yeah.
Watergate Part 2 continues.
I'm not a crook.
Bill Schultz, critics, Rotten Tomatoes, 1 through 100. What do you have?
God. 80.
Kevin Israel.
85.
73.
Wow.
I mean, still a good score. We're not, it's like it's 48. Yeah. Back to you, Bill Schultz. Audience. Oh, sorry, Kevin Israel. Excuse me. Audience score, 1 through 100. What do you have?
80.
Schultz.
70.
81. Two showcases to Mr. Israel. All right there. Quotes. Don't worry, Schultz. I'm going to leave you your favorite one.
No, do whatever. No, I've got the movie memorized.
No. No, because he off quotes us on Twitter and posts his memes. I have two. Everybody owes, everybody pays.
That was mine.
Great one.
Yeah. That was mine.
And my other favorite one, on the seventh day of the Lord's squad and what came out was Ireland. No offense. I love how Bill the Butcher pulls a Rodney Dangerfield in the middle of the 5 points. And drops that.
I have called Ashley a prim looking stargazer, and she has no idea what I'm talking about.
That's one of my things that I like about it is like all these
all
old
the slang.
Schools, we're just we're just forced to believe Scorsese that they actually said this crap. Like,
you know what? I looked a lot of it up. I'll get into it after.
What are the quotes you have, or is that the only one you have?
That's it. This
Schultz, do your favorite, and the other ones you may have as well.
Ears and noses shall be the trophies of the day, but no harm shall come to him. Do you hear me? No harm shall come to this boy.
And the other one?
What do you say, Jenny? One more for the sweet souvenir. Another phrase, did that really said something they said? And I'll do Leo, even though, ugh. Now, she was a turtle dove. Now, to be a turtle dove takes a lot of sand. Again, do a lot of sand. Do we know? Yeah, I don't.
Sand.
Know.
I know sand. That was a thing.
Yeah.
And then I know what Gucci's getting with. So I'll just get it over with. Don't you never come in here empty-handed again. You got to pay for the pleasure of my company.
That's a good one. That would be like one of those good posters you get. You see it like Hobby Lobby. No. Yeah. You have to pay for the pleasure of my company.
Well, and this walking tour that I do at South Street Seaport, horrible plug. I, of course, do adopt, although I haven't had the sand to actually do be in character the whole time, but I dress like him. And I have wanted to say that at the end of it because it's based mostly on gratuity, but I have not had the sand to actually use.
Is that a real knife?
Yet. Don't you never come in here empty-handed again. Yeah. You got to pay for the pleasure.
By the way, for all those not watching on YouTube, Bill Schultz is indeed wearing the top hat with the blue sash around it that Bill the Butcher wore. And he's wantonly waving a knife around. I'm waiting for it to jab himself in the eye. Unless the White Sox game is not over yet, he's probably saying,
"Is that a real knife?"
It's a prop knife, but it looks very real.
It does. I got
from, failed Stated Details magazine, which seems to be a theme for a lot of the broadcasts we're doing. Other places Bill got laid off at,
or asked.
But at least I got this.
What magazines did Bill bring down?
Yes, exactly.
Why couldn't you bring down Highlights and that fruity ass Goofus and Gallant? Those guys need to fucking eat the dirt for once.
Because Goofus was based on me. I'll never bring it down.
I had to wear as a Gallant. Five.
Thank you.
Five. Fun. Well, those magazines were pure. Not that going to the doctor was fun as a kid, but those magazines at dentists and doctors' offices were just. It's salt and open wounds in Guantanamo Bay where infection was about to set in. That's what those magazines were.
I never got Highlights, Dynamite, All In. And even Weekly World. I like some of the animal pictures, but
Bill is more of a Tiger Beat kind of fella, especially when the Coreys had their own spread in there.
Oh, don't get me started. And anytime Michael J. Fox is on the cover, I'm in.
Five fun facts. The director first read The Gangs of New York in 1970, and later that decade, he made the movies Mean Streets and Taxi Driver. This led to him acquiring the rights to the book in 1979. Then decades passed. It was not until 1999 he finally found a production company that would help him mount his vision. Great. Number two, Scorsese took some liberties. For example, William Poole died years before the draft riots depicted in the film and is not known to have killed anybody. Hey, they did change the character's name from to William Cutting. However, Anne Binder said that things weren't as violent as Scorsese depicted, and there were more female and Chinese immigrants in New York than there really were at the time. On the other hand, Hellcat Maggie really did file her teeth into points and wear brass fingernails. That's a story worth delving into sometime.
Oh, I'll delve into it.
I know. I'm sure you will. Daniel Day-Lewis seemed like the perfect fit for William Cutting, but he wasn't the first choice. Would you like to take a guess who was asked to be the role of Bill Cuddy?
De Niro.
That was your guess. Schultz, do you know the answer? Or are you going to cheat and give me the correct answer this time again?
Well, De Niro was one, but he also wanted Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. But why did he say no?
Because he was doing, oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I suck. Wait, no, don't do it. He was doing something else at the time, and I forget what it was.
Bosom Buddies. Bosom Buddies.
The movie.
Bachelor Party Part 2, straight to DVD. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I forgot. What was the
movie? Road to Perdition.
Okay.
Toy Story's 95.
Well, I will add to this. Both Liam Neeson and Tom Hanks were considered for Lincoln, and it went to Daniel Day-Lewis for Spielberg.
Rightfully so.
I could not picture Tom Hanks as Bill the Butcher.
No.
No. Or, by the way, I can't really picture Liam Neeson. But I'm sorry, not Liam Neeson, but Robert De Niro. And
I could see that before Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Drugs to the left, hookers to the right in the 5 points. There you go. Number four, Scorsese went with the former option, commissioning Italian production designer Dante Ferretti to create a breathtakingly authentic version of the New York's 5 points neighborhood circa 1860. At the legendary Cinchetta Studios in Rome, Ferretti's team built a mile of sets, stores, saloons, houses, the town square, even the harbor, docks, and ships, all of them fully functional with no facades. Great. At one point in the late 70s, when Scorsese was earnestly trying to get the film made, wow, who did he envision playing the DiCaprio role, the Daniel Day-Lewis role, as well as three guys were envisioned to play the Daniel Day-Lewis role?
Oh, goodness.
When was this?
Late 70s. All of them, well, three of them were at the time just A-list. The second guy, more known in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. He's ubiquitous, even still now. The first, so Leonardo DiCaprio, any ideas who it would be?
Travolta?
No.
That's a good guess.
But listen, what I tell you, it's as wacky as an idea as Travolta. Schultz, did you look this up already?
No, I did not. okay. So I'll do, wait, are we doing one?
Like, guess, one guess.
Can I do Daniel Day-Lewis's character first?
I mean, if you want to, sure. There are three people.
I'm going to say, even though Scorsese didn't work with him in Departed, I'm going to say Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. So for DiCaprio's role, he envisioned, sit the fuck down. Ready? Dan Aykroyd.
Never would have gotten that. Right, I'm not upset about that.
Race stance as
I would have loved to see that movie. Yeah.
And wait, so then Belushi as Bill the Butcher? What the hell?
Yes. Like, that's one of the three. Belushi is.
No, shut the fuck up. Was it going to be a comedy?
No, I guess not. Belushi is Daniel Day-Lewis. Hey, what's this lying around shit for?
Apparently, not only
I'm was a zit. Get it?
In the street, so was Blues.
And I'm cholera. And I'm cholera. And I'm typhoid fever and scarlet fever. So Belushi, Willem Dafoe, and Bob De Niro. I would like to see Dafoe as Bill the Butcher.
Yeah, that could have worked.
There's only one Bill the Butcher.
And his original conception in the early 70s, want to take a guess who Scorsese wanted? Megastar in the early 70s, still around today, but at the time, big.
No idea.
Warren Beatty.
Malcolm McDowell.
Ah, huh.
I could see that. Okay. After that kind of fizzled out, let's go right to Ask.
I just don't like casting is everything. And yeah. Scorsese clearly has a bad problem with this. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Ask a Gutter. At Newark Night, Brandon Oglesby, are we going to hear Bill Schultz see that he can't pull off a mustache and top hat like Daniel Day-Lewis? Or does he have legitimate gripes with this film?
Both. Two things can be true at the same time.
Brandon, watch the YouTube version of this so you can enjoy Bill sporting his top hat. Number two, at Lord Snurts. Oh, no Lord Snurts scores. Damn it. For Bill, who would win in a fight between the Warriors and the Anglo-Protestant Confederation of American Natives?
Oh, my God. Is that even a question? The Bowery Boys would destroy the Warriors in 5 seconds flat.
Right.
For no other reason than the Bowery Boys like a lot of clothing, and they would just destroy the Warriors for assuming that they were lady boys, as they called them at the time. No, I'm sorry, the Sheehys. That was their term. They would assume they were Sheehys for how much skin they were showing. And even in the late 70s, the Warriors looked gay. Very gay.
Very gay. By the way, Kevin Israel snorts sucked this question in about an hour ago. He asked, wants to know why Tony Stark does not make armor for all the Avengers for your Iron Man question.
He kind of did in
Spider-Man.
No, not Endgame. The other one, Infinity War.
Infinity War.
For the time the travel cluster. Suits.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The time travel suits were all iron. But I mean, that's always the question. Like, why didn't he just make Iron Man suits for everybody? And
was it like because he saw in Iron Man 2 that he, with great power comes great responsibility, and if everyone has his technology, he can't control it, and bad things might happen? Yeah, that's always all I thought the excuse was. Yeah.
All right. Let's curtail this. All right, I just got to ask one question. Schultz has got to come in with diarrhea of the mouth. Let's go to I lost my spot. Oh, at Taco Shirt Krillin. Bill, why in God's name would you pick such a long movie to have to watch again? Crying laughter emoji.
I'm sorry about that. I mean, is that rhetorical? Or does he want me to answer?
I don't think it's rhetorical. But listen, there have been longer films like Lawrence of Arabia we've had to sit through. And God, Kevin, you know what other ones we had to sit through? J.L. Call of Venom had to sit through two marathons.
The Irishman, which is more recent, Scorsese, is like an hour longer than Gangs of New York. So, I mean.
No, it's like three. It's three and change as well. At Joe Loves Kim, do you think Daniel Day-Lewis's co-stars get irritated by his extreme method acting? He's played more than a few jerks and is always in character.
Yes, I do. Yeah. But I also say all worth it.
And back with Azana, evaluate me, my nudes in profile. She's quite persistent.
We didn't get it with the Iron Man episode. I want to validate these nudes. Come on.
Let's go. Let's take a look here. Is this the one post? Oh, she doesn't even have nudes in her profile. You tease.
Ah!
What a falsifier. Okay, now
that's too much cummy juice in her mouth.
Properly. No, that was such a great line.
I should have wrote that one down. The quotes.
I could do it all day.
Meow. Let's listen. No, listen to the end of podcast plugs time. Bill Schultz. What are you working on besides stage 5 melanoma?
Thanks, buddy. It's very accurate to 1862 New York. I mean, they did not have SPF. Second of all, you can still find Joanne and I. We were the product of downsizing the Compound Media, don't you know? But we still do a weekly video podcast where she still looks just as adorable and talks about all kinds of sexy things and like rolls her eyes at me on YouTube. Morning, Bill and Joe. Easy to find. As I mentioned, I am trying to do a historical walking tour that has Gangs of New York themes, particularly when one of our stops is Dead Rabbit, a very famous bar in South Street Seaport. It's worth the price of admission. Our pseudo quote, I don't think it's going to be the name of the tour, is Live or Let Die.
That's a good one. That's going to be our
mantra. But yes, I'm available for all corporate events. And to quote Ghostbuster Peter Venkman, no job is too big, no fee is too big. Thank you, Kev.
Guys, listen, if you can't enjoy Bill getting cirrhosis in real time, then you just haven't lived life.
Thank you. And also, I'm not going to live my life much longer. So take it while you can.
Don't make this your suicide note. Let's have a fun time. and end it on October 1st, the day of the final day of the Major League season for the White Sox. Ah, streak continues.
I thought you said you don't want me to kill myself.
Kevin Israel, let's hear it.
KevinIsrael.com for comedy dates, which are sporadic through the summer, but filling up for the fall. And as always, The Struggle Is Real. My comedy album is available to help me pay my ever-growing bills with my ever-growing family.
Oh, don't forget to check out Corporate America Horseshit on Corporate USA Guy on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Actually, just follow me on YouTube. Everybody else is private because I'm looking for a new job myself. So at Corporate USA Guy on YouTube for all satirical making funds of corporate America. That is going to close out the plugs. I can't wait to hear Bill in his top hat explain in 19th century New York modern English for that time with a mouthful of cunny juice why Gangs in New York is not good. Cunny juice sold separately. And let's time for Bill to
Gut
the sacred
cow.
Three months off if you haven't missed a beat.
your first mistake is that this is a top hat, stovepipe hat, common for about 4 years, much like cod pieces in the 13th century. Didn't last that long, but it's all about bragging about how big your dick is.
That's my first thing, my notes. God damn.
Oh, yeah. No, well, it's a historical fact. And no one had a bigger D. Sorry, I'm trying to censor myself. I got to stop swearing. Then, of course, Bill the Butcher. You did a great job of sort of the background of this. It was a back and forth between the Weinsteins and Scorsese as to whether or not this was going to get made. It was a 30-year project for Scorsese. He loved the book. The book was written by Herbert Asbury, and he wrote in the 20s. And here's the thing. I don't normally subscribe to, oh, the book's always better than the movie. Yeah, in this case, it totally is. Because the book's an anthology. It is not a historical fiction. It's technically not fiction, although he got a lot of stuff wrong. It's literally, I hate when I use the word literally, about the gangs of New York. It starts from the 1840s and it ends in the 1920s. And while there have been movies done about this, where it ends in the 1920s, all the gangs that you see in this movie ended up being Al Capone's first gang, ended up being Lucky Luciano's first gang, ended up being Meyer Lansky's first gang. All cool things that if it were done a little better, and I'm going to go back to this phrase a lot, everyone needs an editor. If this was all done better, could have been alluded to. But because of the war between Weinstein, what he wanted, and Leonardo DiCaprio coming off of being hot with Titanic and the romance of it versus I think what Scorsese wanted to do was a little bit more of actual Gangs of New York. There were two. Right. You had I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to the opening scene. Opening scene. We have Angry Rock in this opening scene. We have Liam Neeson in this opening scene. We have a little bit of hip hop in the soundtrack of this opening scene. And we have a lot of Irish white guys that, let's face it, and I'll be racist, all look alike. So it's very hard to keep track of them throughout the rest of the movie. Even though he does dumb flashbacks throughout the whole movie, remember, John C. Reilly, Brendan Gleeson, I'm missing some. They were not big stars back then. So you didn't immediately look at them and be like, well, I got to keep my eye on him. They were angry Irish white guys. And you didn't know where their loyalties were going to lie within 5 minutes or 10. And you're supposed to keep track of them. And so what we start off with which is I will give credit to, you got Liam Neeson. But if you look at the poster, you realize Liam Neeson's not going to be a big part of this. And he is Priest Fallon. And this is loosely based on a kind of real character. And you've got this amazing setup. And you've got this amazing reveal where you've got the dead rabbits, these crapped upon Irish immigrants, and then you have the Bowery Boys, a very real gang, that were nativists. Now, let's define our terms as far as proud nativist Americans back in 1842.
I was hoping
your grandfather was born here. Like,
yeah, this is not an anthropology lesson, please. Listen.
Sorry. But yeah, so they're all lining up, and there's a great, and they're in this thing called what used to be a brewery. It's a mission. And it's sort of like in equal parts in the movie, a mix between Castlevania and the Dagobah system. And they all live there. And that's not necessarily accurate. We'll get into that. And you get this great reveal where Brendan Gleeson, who's now a huge star now, kicks the door down and lets go. And he's got his bat, puts his notches on. And you've got this lineup. Talk about zero payoff. So initially, Bill the Butcher thinks he's going to just wipe the mat with these guys. But it's not just the dead rabbits. All of a sudden, you get the Plug Uglies. You've got the Wyos. You've got all these great names, all real gangs that join up with them. And they're all wearing red, although technically the Bowery Boys were red in historical fact. But they're all wearing red. The Bowery Boys are wearing this. They're wearing blue. And this will decide who has sway on Five Points. Will it be all these new incomers, thanks to the stupid potato famine, or will it be the Bowery Boys? And they don't even set this up well. You get it by the end of the fight that, okay, the leader is Priest Valen, not much of a priest. I mean, his cross is a knife. I don't even think he was a real priest, especially since he had a son. And he comes out, he does his speech, Bill the Butcher does his. And what you get out of this is this, especially way after Braveheart, and you get some people in Braveheart that were in this scene. It's a good fight scene. It's not a bad fight scene. You see some stuff you've never seen before. Many people in the audience were confused by a character that we've already referenced, Hellcat Maggie. They're like, what is this Matrix stuff with this video game girl with Freddy Krueger nails, shaved down teeth, and she's ripping people's ears off? Loosely based on a real character. And the bar that she used to work at is still in South Street called Bridge Cafe. It hasn't opened yet. But she would take ears off the Bowery Boys or anyone else that she fought with. And if you didn't have money, she had formaldehyde, and you could put the ear in this giant jar in the Bridge Cafe full of other ears of people she hated, namely nativists, and you would get a free drink. So you have all of this that is not explained. Yeah. The audience doesn't know any of this. It is not, you don't know about these other games that are never making an appearance again. And you have what is a pretty good battle scene. It is not too shabby. You get Liam Neeson for what, 4 days? You see him do this for a little bit. And then Bill the Butcher quietly gets him and he's like, oh, now the fight's over. I doubt it was that organized. Just because you got the leader of their game, I think they're still going to go. But that was the deal. And then you get the problem where the movie veers off from the book. So the book's an anthology, and there is a way to do it where you could still make a fictional movie and show the history of games overall. But no, Leo's in it, and we got Cameron Diaz right after something about Mary. So there's got to be a love story. And rather than all these cool games that we're introduced to that you never see again, it is the Dead Rabbits now being done. They are no longer existing because they lost this battle thanks to Priest going down. And you've got what is the most cliche hero, maybe action kind of trope ever, boys, avenging a dead dad. That it is already reduced to that. And then you have, Leonardo DiCaprio, so many years later, 1862, coming back. And of the many, I will mention these things because this movie, when it first came out, was applauded for being historically accurate. Could not be less historically accurate. The costumes, what they did with the Five Points, which is essentially right between Chinatown and Wall Street. Beautiful. Wonderfully accurate. Everything else, screw you. And one of them being that just is offensive to the ears. Yes, Leonardo DiCaprio did go to a boys' home for a while. You don't have an Irish accent, dude. And also your Irish accent is terrible. And it takes you out of the movie. And he comes in with his grand plan that he is going to avenge his father. And he has 1,000 opportunities to do just that. But in his way of thinking, what I'm going to do is really gain his trust and save his life several times before finally going in a crowded area with all of Bill the Butcher's supporters, try to kill him with my dad's knife that I buried at the beginning. I wonder if that's going to come back into play. Mm. And do it, fail it, and then get scarred. As Bill the Butcher says, you will be a freak on the streets for the rest of your life. Bad move on you, Bill the Butcher, for just, you know, not killing him. That was his plan. And by the way, DiCaprio, despite his greasy hair, still looked gorgeous. So I don't know what that came yet. And throughout it, I think the main fight between Scorsese and Weinstein was, I want the romance, I want this, and Scorsese's trying to do the history. And so you've got the turtle dove that is the most horribly cast person, save Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie. That would be Cameron Diaz. Let's examine the last name, Diaz, as the lovely off-the-boat Irish girl that is Jenny. And as we were talking in the Iron Man podcast, I will add Cameron Diaz as another unsettling redhead with Gwyneth Paltrow and Kirsten Dunst in Spider-Man. This goes nowhere. He follows her because she steals his Saint whatever necklace. We establish they like each other. We get the cunny juice line. That's great. All of this is just the audience looking at their watch and wondering what they've gotten into. Now, what do we have here? Do we have a hyperactive reckoning drama of avenging the father? Do we have a romance, or do we have what every Scorsese fan wanted, which was a hyper-violent, strewn throughout gangland warfare movie that's equal parts Western that absolutely never comes into fruition? And so what the audience has while they are trying to hold their bladder throughout the entire time is the saving grace, Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis. And to Kevin's point, and also I think Robert Downey Jr. referenced it when he stayed in character until the DVD commentary in Tropic Thunder, it is a fact that Daniel Day-Lewis spoke as Bill the Butcher, not just throughout the movie, and was in character after the movie. Well into the premiere, he was talking, this is a fact. That's, and you get crapped on less so back then when there was no social media.
He also texted Sally Field and called her Mary Todd. Mm-hmm. What an insufferable asshole. You say Lincoln.
As Lincoln. And yeah. Here's the thing. He would do that without it ever occurring to him. Lincoln didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah. Lincoln didn't have a regular phone either.
I don't know where he was going with this. And
where are you going with this, Bill? Come on.
So the problems would be this movie doesn't know what it is. This movie doesn't know where it's going. And what it could have been was, and so many people, even to this day, are scared of just admitting all of it. Kill Cameron Diaz. I don't say literally. I don't want to get the letters. Kill off her character. I would say that Leonardo DiCaprio was horribly miscast. I think perhaps if you want that vengeance, maybe. But I like the idea of someone working under Daniel Day-Lewis, gaining his trust and killing him, although the way that it was done was horrible. And also figure out what you are. And Scorsese has a big problem with this. He is very much like the guy that worships him, Tarantino, where everyone needs an editor. And when you have a lot of people glad handling you and telling you, yeah, you do this, do that, the result is something like Gangs of New York. Gangs of New York, I have a love-hate relationship with, in the sense that Daniel Day-Lewis, I believe to be one of the best bad guys in movie history. When you can dress up like a dandy Willy Wonka freak show that he did and be as menacing as he was, and that was accurate, they dressed like that back then, you're doing something. The I would say that Last Action Hero kind of scooped them on the eye thing. The real William Poole did not have that. But it was still a great choice. But you couple that, and you think you got it with Daniel Day-Lewis. But you couple that with U2 in the soundtrack, the guy that did the soundtrack that did the angry guitars and then the weird Irish music. That was horrible. Did not get you in the mood. And also, to your point, too, like he did make people's life miserable on the set. He broke his nose, didn't break it in character. Almost had to stop production because he had pneumonia. And again, Kev, this goes back to him talking to Mary Todd, but still using a cell phone. He refused to use modern medicine while filming in Rome and almost died from pneumonia because he was that in character. And the big problem that you have throughout this movie is Scorsese. Is he that good? Literalness. Scorsese just wants to punch it in your face. You could go to The Departed. What is the final scene? The whole movie's about rats. What do we have? Rats going. And also, I feel bad for Scorsese because that was before CGI. And can you imagine how many takes it took to get that trained rat to do that? But Scorsese wanted to nail you with that. Taxi Driver. Wait for it. It's about a taxi driver. Mean Streets. Well, they weren't good streets. Scorsese is a slave to literalism. And nowhere is it more evident than in this movie. And you can go from any scene where they show you exactly what's about to happen before it happens, whether it be what's his name in the E.T., who like basically screws Leonardo DiCaprio over and he gets screwed.
Elliot.
Crucified. John C. Reilly has then done the same thing. All of this is telegraphed, but the worst part is Bill the Butcher, who is the only good part. The real guy's name was William Poole, and he was indeed known as Bill the Butcher. And in fact, his last dying words when he was killed by someone in his gang was, "I die a true American." And he says that in the movie. What does Scorsese do? Dude, he's already a butcher. His last name is Cutting. We get it. You don't need to add the Cutting part. Bill the Butcher Cutting. Scorsese jams down stuff into our face that we don't need. He devotes stuff that we don't need plot-wise. And as a result, everyone leaves being like, meh. And finally, I will also add, you start with an okay fight scene. The biggest cock tease and just the worst payoff ever was the final scene. You are waiting for it. Okay, we have gone through 3 hours of this. DiCaprio has done this stupidly. DiCaprio has done this and screwed this up every which way but loose. But he's gained the respect and he's got back the dead rabbits that were supposed to be extinct. The draft riots happened because he wanted to marry it with that movie. Everyone's just like, oh, draft riots. Catch you later. That's the fight scene. Yeah. And then basically Bill the Butcher's already got shrapnel in him. He's going to die. And not gentlemanly, Leo DiCaprio is just like, well, got to do this in my crappy Irish accent, and guts him as they hold hands together, much like the end scene in Heat. And then he just goes and bitches about how, well, they even really remember us. No, we don't want to. That was terrible. Also, like little things like the elephant going through the street from the Barnum Museum. Oh, really? That never happened. Yeah. And also, look, the union did a lot of bad things. They did not shell New York with their cannons off the harbor. Yes, they did invade the city to stop the draft riots, but that didn't happen. If you're going to be historical about those things, get it right. So in summation, this movie is survived by the greatest hero, one of the greatest villains ever made. The rest of it is a convoluted Scorsese mess, which he does more often than not.
1 to 10.
Because of Daniel Day-Lewis, I will give it a 7.5, but if it were not for that, barely a 6.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I expected lower. Sounds like Kevin Israel expected the same. To the aforementioned Kevin Israel, what do you got to say about this Gangs of New York film?
What could I say that Bill hasn't already said?
Sorry.
Nothing.
I've done too many of these tours.
I
apologize.
I categorize this movie in my grouping of movies that I call Damn, Everybody Must Have Smelled.
Yeah,
because
you son of a bitch! I hate going last.
I don't think we ever fully appreciate how lucky we are in the time in which we're living.
Oh yes,
yes. We'll cut home from the gym and we'll be like, oh man, I must stink. No, those people smelled. Mm. Those people, they didn't shower or bathe. They were no showers. They didn't bathe for weeks and weeks, and it was hot, and all they had to wear was wool, and they probably had lice, and they didn't shave anything. It was just a disgusting time. And half of the movie, I just kept thinking, and like, especially when they have sex, I'm like, ah, oh, it must have stunk, but they both stunk, so they probably didn't even notice. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the movie, but it's just what I think of when I see these types of movies.
So there's no way he had cunny juice in his mouth because she had so much pubic hair on her that he there's no way he got to it.
Yeah, because he wasn't going like this.
What? Yeah, it's like licking steel wool for 30 minutes.
Steel wool. It's like steel wool. So yeah. So anyhow, back to the.
Can you imagine the smell that knocked him on his ass if he did go down on her? Are you kidding me? That's the new That's the new chloroform.
I thought about it all
chloroform,
the time.
Chloroform. Yes. Chloroform. That's a chloroform.
I'm exactly like Israel. All I thought about were the sense.
What were we talking about? So,
Iron Man.
This, yeah. So, this movie is more like an audition or like an Oscar audition for Daniel Day-Lewis because he's the standout of this movie. I haven't watched this in a long time. And the only scenes I really remember are any scene that Daniel Day-Lewis is in. And for some reason, the scene where Amsterdam fights the little Irish guy in the bar and he fish hooks him. For some reason, that fight always sticks out in my head because it's kind of the moment where he proves himself to him. This movie, Kev, I hope you put out the Iron Man episode first, because this movie, for me, suffers from the same problem that Iron Man suffered through. For me, the first two acts, I enjoy. I enjoy learning about the gangs and finding out, you know, how this all happened. And then also the relationship between Amsterdam and Bill the Butcher. I thought they had great chemistry together. The father-son relationship that slowly builds, the angst that he's feeling of that he's actually coming to love this man who killed his father and he knows he has to kill. That's all interesting story and I enjoy it. I could give two shits about Cameron Diaz's character. They had no chemistry. There was no nothing about it. That was Scorsese going, well, there needs to be a love interest, so just put it in. And you really didn't need that aspect in the movie. because it could have just been about, you know, just guys killing each other, just what sort of just what men do, especially back then. This movie also interested me because it's a moment in history that you never learn about in history class growing up. You never learn, you breeze through so much. I was talking about this with my wife when we were watching it. Like, how many, like, think about all the amount of time you spent in history class from kindergarten to senior year of high school. How many, like, we went through the same history over and over and over again, but you never learn much more detail. And it's an interesting fact. Like, I didn't know that New York City was a hotbed for just crime and basically a war, like a demilitarized zone, you know, during the Civil War.
No, it still is now.
Yeah.
Well, and wanted to secede from the Union. And that is a fact. Yeah.
Yeah. And you never hear about that. And it's interesting. Now, I don't have the knowledge that Bill has about this, but I watched a couple of videos on it. Was this historically accurate? Cause it was something that I was curious about, and Bill hit all the points. I get the need to jam some things together, to jam the draft riots with these gang fights. I did learn that while they were gang fights at this time, they were never on the scale of what you see in this movie. It was never hundreds and hundreds of people. Even during the draft riots, apparently only a few hundred people died. It wasn't like the thousands that it makes it look like. But the first two acts are good, and I enjoy them, and they're what I remember of the movie. This is another movie that I don't think I watched the end often. The final fight is very anticlimactic. It's not what you want to get out of their whole thing. You either want to get a really good fight, or you want to get something that you don't expect, like something, you know, like they decide not to kill each other and they go their separate ways or whatever, something surprising. But instead, you get this kind of lackluster fight that nobody really gets, you know. I think it would have been cool if Bill killed Amsterdam, but then I guess it really wouldn't have been historically accurate. But
I would love that.
Yeah, it just
Cameron Diaz on top of it.
Yeah, and then right at the end just throws his knife at Cameron Diaz and says, "Now you got your souvenir," or whatever, and she dies. But it sort of falls flat for me. And going back to when we were talking about seeing Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, a lot of times when you try to do these historic movies that don't have plots or you know, you don't have a lot to piece together, you end up with these weird disjointed stories. So he created some characters and then he took some historic characters and put them together and tried to create a narrative about this time period that you were living in. And it doesn't work as well as clearly he wanted it to work. But to Bill's point also, Daniel Day-Lewis is so amazing in this movie.
Yes.
And every scene he steals, the way he delivers dialogue, he's so powerful. Kind of like we were talking about Jeff Bridges, but obviously even more so. He owns every scene. When he's on the screen, nobody else matters. He does such a good job of making everybody seem feeble. And by the way, Daniel Day-Lewis isn't like a big imposing guy. He's a thin, you know, kind of a scrawny guy, but you buy into the fact that he's a physically imposing, impressive person in this movie just because of how big he acts, and it really shows the power somebody can bring to a part while not having the physicality that might have to go along with it. But beyond that, I really don't care about this movie. like it's just not one of those movies. Like it wasn't one of Leo's greatest performances, clearly.
No.
And it wasn't. You know, it taught me a little, and it made me curious about a time that I didn't know about. But I also like it's not a movie that I'm ever like, oh, I got to go back and watch that movie. There's no, it doesn't pass the remote test in any shape or form. And it really feels like they were like, all right, Dan, you're going to get an Oscar for this. Go do your thing. And that's all we really care about.
Dan, we're all on first name basis. Dan, DDL, go no, knock
DDL,
it out.
DDL. I was gonna say DDL, but we're not that close.
Well, yeah. And like a quick quiz question for you guys, which it blows my mind because this is one of my favorite roles he's ever done. Do you guys know who Daniel Day-Lewis lost the Oscar to?
Hold on a second. Let me do the math. This is 2002, so 2003.
You're not gonna like it.
No idea.
I'll give you a hint. another canceled person directed the movie.
No idea. Yeah, I was thinking Spacey too, but he didn't direct.
Well, a canceled person directed the movie, not the actor that won.
Who is it? Just tell us.
Piano.
Adrian Christ, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
I never saw that.
I never saw it either.
I never saw it because I just don't give a shit. Is he canceled? What is he? Oh, because of Weinstein.
Roman Polanski directed it. He was the canceled.
Oh, he did?
Oh, wow. I
had no idea he did that. Oh,
yeah, me neither. Yeah, so look, in my disjointed summation, to Bill's point, while not nearly as passionate,
or dorky.
the movie, it is a mess. You almost forget about how messy it is, again, just because of Daniel Day-Lewis, how good his part is. But when you really look at the plot and what they're trying to get at and working your way through the movie, it's very messy. And the ears point that you made, I think Bill made, is a great example of it, because my wife and I were watching that, and when she puts the ears in the drawer, I looked at her and I was like, what is that about?
Thank you.
Like, yes. I don't know. I was like, did I miss something? And so that's a great example of this sort of messy storytelling and that could have made this movie more interesting if they included some of that information. But there was just a lot that happens that they're just like, you don't need to know this. Just trust me. This is how they sounded, or this is what they said, or this is what happened. So it is sloppy-ish storytelling with some good characters. It feels like a really good WWE storyline. Like, the characters were good. The fighting was good. I didn't really need to know what was going on with the plot. But this isn't one of those movies that I wake up and think about. And I don't know, maybe that says something more about me than about the movie. But yeah, this is it's a 5.5 for me.
I want to know what movie that you do. I want to know what movie you do wake up and think about.
Pirates, the XXX version.
With the old Jesse James.
Yeah.
Come on. Listen, that was a hetero test. I passed the flying colors. Notice how Bill Schultz was quiet as a church mouse.
Yeah.
Hey, you want your driver?
He's out.
These notes brought to you by Gutting the Sacred Cow and all your favorite socials, even Blue. Are we on Blue Sky? I think we are. Who cares? No one goes on that anyway. Instagram, GTSC Podcast on Twitter, all that good stuff. Follow us on YouTube. That all helps. Notes. Let's start this off with a question. What's the worst accent you've heard in a film? I'm going to give you four choices. Cameron Diaz in this film, Don Cheadle in Ocean's 11's film, or... I knew that was your point for the other one. I know. Or, and I rewatched this recently. This is why I say this. Keanu Reeves in Dracula.
Oh.
Oh, that's
up there. You're missing one.
Well, Leo's Irish.
Kevin Costner in Prince of Thieves.
he just bails on it, though.
Yeah.
And Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. But
I got to go Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle's accent's so bad.
Rewatch. I tell you what, rewatch Dracula and then text me and go, Jesus Christ, this is a dogfight for sure.
Well, like Keanu goes between, I'm going to try a British accent to, I'm just gay. I'm just going to be gay. Right. And that was sort of his choice. That was the road that he traveled. Yeah.
Good choice.
Bill, this one's for you. Based on looks alone, Liam Neeson could play a fantastic Quint if they ever try to remake Jaws.
Yes. That's a great point.
Okay, yes. But I also was very happy to see The Shark is Broken on Broadway. I did it for free.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
I really
it's one of the best
things
I've ever seen.
Really,
but you know who played? Do you know who played Quint?
His son.
His son. And his son should play Quint because he looks exactly like Robert Shaw.
Is that still running?
That's a good question. I will send.
Yeah, I really want to see it.
It's unbelievable. Everyone looks and sounds like the actors. Yeah, it's great.
Kirby Robinson from Cleveland, Bosun's mate.
A nearly 3 hour movie about Irish people fighting for their lives. I'm okay with Irish limericks, but I am not okay with bagpipe music. I love when people lie to themselves and say they love hearing bagpipes on St. Patrick's Day. Bullshit. Pull your phones out and show me all the bagpipe songs you have in your phones. Liars.
It just reminds me of cop funerals, which is depressing.
Yes.
You know, like that's when you hear bagpipes.
I did.
I thought he said cock. I was like, I've never been to one.
Oh, no, Israel. I had a funeral for my cock a long time ago.
I thought that they call it when gentlemen insert themselves in the bills.
No, Bill, let's be honest. Funeral. Your cock's never been in a box.
Well played. I can't even be offended.
I did like the drum and fife music they played before the battle.
I like that. That's not what happened, though. Then it was like hip hop and angry guitar.
Have it on my phone. No bullshit. All the weapons prepping scene before the battle is cool. But remember, no one will ever top Arnold Schwarzenegger prepping in Commando. Never.
Nope.
Ever, ever.
Nope.
Here's a fact that I made up that's going to be proven right. John C. Reilly has been in 82% of all films made in the last 20 years.
He's our new Michael Caine.
Brees Vallon was a role meant for Liam Neeson, but Liam Neeson was sure as shit not meant to play Frank Drebin in the upcoming Naked Gun reboot. Fuck off.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible.
The guy getting fish hook was a nice touch. That's almost halfway to the guy getting sawed in half, starting with his asshole in the movie Bone Tomahawk. Have you seen that film? That is a real, turn your head, because that just hits the cockles.
I'm turning into my mom, where I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I only want to see nice things. That's a direct quote from 100%. Deborah Schultz. So I don't know if I can handle that.
Are you ready for me to sway you to go see it? Kurt Russell's in it.
All right, I'm in.
See?
I'm in. Yeah.
Kurt Russell. Everyone loves Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I'm in.
What a shitty dad making his son watch him as he died.
Yeah.
That's a bad dad, but he's not near as bad as a dad as a dad from Iron Claw.
Yeah, seriously.
I still haven't seen that one.
That's so good. That dad killed four out of his five sons. That is beyond Ted Williams.
That's a wrestling movie, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. If you only want to see nice movies, that's not.
Yeah, that, I'm out. I'm
wait,
out.
Wait, Bill, to ruin it, I'm not going to spoil this. It's about four wrestling sons, and three of them die. But in the film, they omitted that another one died in real life. So four out of the five sons died.
And they omitted it because they had it in the original script, and the director said, "This is too depressing. We need to take one out."
Yeah.
So this is basically Saving Private Ryan. But with the WWE,
actually,
all the brothers die.
It's more depressing. It's more depressing.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, not watching.
Do you think the kid who played Young Amsterdam was asked by DiCaprio if he had a younger sister who was single? Come on. No one's going to make a young Leo dating chick shook. I am. Fuck you guys. That hit Schultz right. This one's going to hit him too. Only three N-words from the Brits in the first 15 minutes, which is also the same number of N-words in 15 seconds of a Manchester United home game.
True. Yeah. No, that's accurate. Yeah.
But
also they throw bananas out into the field as well. Yeah.
They do. Kevin Israel.
Yeah. No, we're not a good. We're bad. Humans are horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I can smell these people from the 5 points. Pretty much smells like the entire tailgating crew at Talladega Raceway. That's what I envision this as. The Bowery Boys, the Pug Uglies, the Broadway Twisties. Sounds like they want to remake the Warriors as an all-gay version.
No. The Warriors were the gay version. I think these guys were more badass.
Warriors.
That movie stunk, and we did it
so bad. So bad.
Firefighters fighting with each other. It looks like any bar in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Yeah. Or Staten Island.
Yep. Minute 24 and ups. Here we go. Tortured by Irish folk music. I hate the Dropkick Murphys and I hate the Pogues with a fire of 1,000 suns.
I'm out.
Not a fan.
Yeah, the Dropkick Murphys, fine. Pogues, don't do that to me.
Nope. one of my favorite bands is Pennywise, and they are touring now. They just announced this 2 days ago, Pennywise with Dropkick Murphys, and my friends and I go, nope, we'll wait for them to do their own tour. Thank you.
Wow.
If there's anything gross, because why? Because I want to see a bunch of assholes dressed around in newsboy hats and pretend they like the Boston Red Sox? Fuck right out of here. If there's anything grosser that's not bodily fluid related, the drinking from the hose connected to the barrel where they dump in everyone's leftover booze, please let me know. And yes, that happened because I read the Gangs of New York book and it was drier than the Love Diary of Bill Schultz. That's how boring that book was.
Why? It's the hat, right? That's why I'm not getting laid.
It's everything coming out of your mouth. No, I'm kidding. I love you. Leo and the bald guy's boxing stances.
Yes.
Look as awkward as Bill Schultz trying to dance the Lambada.
It
blows my mind that people actually fought in that position.
Yeah. That's how they fought back then.
I know. And first of all, keeping your wrist like this seems like it just immediately a bad idea.
I'm sure there's some sort of gentlemanly agreement. That's why they did.
I am engaging you in fisticuffs. I want to take like gentleman Jack Dempsey, like, oh, you think you're so good? I want you to fight Mike Tyson.
Yes,
I was 1985.
I said that to my wife while we were watching it. Yeah. I was like, I would like to see one of those guys fight, you know, a real fighter from today.
I've actually thought, as much as we all love Muhammad Ali, like, God, late 80s.
Tyson.
No. Muhammad Ali didn't fight anything like that. I don't think it would have been a fun thing to
Tyson's
watch
a killer.
People that were rooting for Ali.
I love how they use the story of that cop, but it wasn't the cop in real life, leaving the watch on the lamppost in the middle of the 5 points to prove a point. That was cool.
Wow.
Just want to say initially, if we haven't already, Daniel Day-Lewis is the best actor of our time.
And 1,000%.
This is his best role by far. This is not up for debate. Horace Greeley in this film, looking like Doc Brown from Back to the Future 3. Mm-hmm. Amazing how the bigger the top hat, the bigger the status, the bigger the dick, as we all said.
Yep.
I always marveled why Bill took to Amsterdam despite him being Irish. Yes, I know. He was putting money in his pocket. But why would you hang out with a race that you despise?
They never explain that, Kev.
Yeah,
like half of the people that are at the beginning scene are part of the Bowery Boys and they never explain it.
No.
No, you're right.
How does one get convicted for sodomy like those commoners were hung for? How much evidence or witnesses do you need to get convicted of butt sex?
Smell his cock.
Yeah. Well, they all smell the same, being in that they're wrapped in wool for 24 hours a day. Do we need to get the police sketch artist involved? Or as some people call sodomy, just a friendly New York handshake?
Which it is.
The selection process of picking a man at the dance like Cameron Diaz did is much better than the apps, especially because when people have a profile picture as a bathroom selfie, but they forget there are mirrors in that bathroom and everyone can see that you're taking a dump while taking that picture. I imagine the time it took Leo to untie Cameron Diaz's botus. He lost his boner with about 38 knots to go.
Because the smell started seeping out.
Yeah.
By the way, how do you get laid knowing the word botus? I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm just very
Apparently you've made some kids, but
One kid, but yes, I'm all red. I'll wager that Leo's onset nickname for Cameron Diaz was Grandma. I'm laughing at my own joke. Fuck it, it's funny.
It's funny because it's true.
When Leo kicked Cameron Diaz out of bed, that was the biggest "that doesn't happen" moment. First of all, no one, unless you're psychotic, does a Warren report of their partner's sexual history right before having sex.
Yes. Yeah.
Secondly, no one, unless you know for certain that one person that they've slept with has the hot dose, you are not kicking anyone out of bed. If you are in for a penny, you are in for the pound.
Oh,
stop it. Unless you kick them out, unless someone farts in your face while you're doing oral, then you can punt them right the fuck out of there.
No, I'm a beggar, not a chooser. I'll keep going.
Here's another observation. I would love to be the guy selling produce outside of a theater. You would make an absolute killing being that produce guy. Because there's winging tomato heads and tomatoes and heads of lettuce wantonly at these plays. Yuck. I get why we need to escort the story into Act 3, but I'm shocked you guys didn't address this. Why the hell wouldn't Amsterdam let Bill take the shot instead of save him? Why?
Well, I kind of did say that. Like, he does this all the time, and he makes it very difficult on himself. Where, yeah, now.
My question. So, look, I'll even give a couple outs. If you're to tell me that he wanted the satisfaction for himself, I get it. But I would take the easy way out if I were him. I'd stand over him, piss in his mouth, and then gouge out his eye, stab him in the dick, and then open up his carotid. But I would first let that guy take the shot and go, oh, okay, kind of Neo's, you know, bullet dodge out of the way for that one. Fuck that.
Seen too many Games of Thrones episodes.
I've never watched one episode of Games of Thrones.
There's a gouge, you know. Yeah.
Leo and Cameron, thank you. Leo and Cameron Diaz are that Italian couple who beat the shit out of each other, curse each other out, and then have sex all during Sunday dinner at their family's houses.
Not all right, good.
How about this? Kind of creepy having Bill watch Amsterdam sleep, right?
Yes, very creepy.
Oh, unbelievably creepy. Yes.
And then I'll reread.
By the way,
I'll say this, that he also had a American flag draped over him while he decided to watch him sleep.
Covering his wound.
If I ever woke up and somebody who wasn't originally there was just sitting by my bed staring at me, I'd scream like a little girl. The fact that he just looks and is like, oh, you're there.
Yeah. It would be even more creepy if he had the American flag draped around his shoulders and then while watching Cameron Diaz and Leo bang and then cheer them on with that American flag, kind of like Apollo Creed cheering on Rocky.
But I assume the speech that comes from that hurt your guy's brain as much as it did me. You remember the preface?
Yeah.
I'm 47 years old.
Yes.
I want to know why I've stayed alive this long. I'm like, oh, God, I'm older than Bill the Butcher.
I'm 47. So yeah. Is Israel. I go, we look yeah, way better.
That cut like a knife from Bill the Butcher.
That hurt.
That's because Bill the Butcher doesn't have melanoma. Anywho.
Guys,
let me get this straight.
That was him.
Leo's buddy turns him in because some whore like Leo better than him. That's like going to the strip club with your boys and one of the girls gives you a free lap dance. But when you're getting that lap dance, your buddy yells out, how's your wife and kids?
Bad move for all you up and coming strippers out there.
Yeah. I'll never do a cruise ship vacation because I don't want to be on a boat with people who think Red Lobster is fine dining.
Hello, Joanne.
I know. I was going to say, but I knew you would. But imagine being on a ship from New York going down the States, around South America, past Argentina twice, and up to San Francisco. How long on that boat, being on that boat, how long? That sounds as unappetizing as actually living in San Francisco. Long way for a joke that didn't pay off. I gotcha. 300 bucks to buy my way out of the army draft. Let me tell you, I would beg, borrow, murder, steal, and do anything close to 1863's version of OnlyFans to avoid
100%.
War.
100%. Yes.
I didn't jot down the minute mark, but we're dragging here, especially with the election of the Irish sheriff, Brendan Gleeson. If this was the spark for the final battle, we could have went a hell of a lot quicker route than this.
Yes.
I can't be the only one who winced when watching Bill cook that steak for 8 seconds on each side and then eats it. That would have me shitting faster than inhaling a Crave case of White Castle burgers, chicken tikka masala, and X-Lax.
They had stronger stomachs back then, Kev. Come on.
Absolutely. I do like them showing the mob ride story. I don't like them how they weaved it in with the final battle, but I like that. I like to hear that story again, because we didn't learn about this stuff in school. A lot of N-words in this film, but not near as many as Bill Schultz's manifesto. That is for sure.
That was between you and me on a private text.
Is a rough copy.
Again, I'm trying to get hired over here, brother. Jeez.
Cameron Diaz says she's not coming back. with Leo if he doesn't leave with her. But surprise, here she is. Why did she come back? Love. Because
they always come back.
Oh.
Yes.
The final battle was way too quick and way, way underwhelming. I mean, for a 3-hour buildup, that's what you do. You got to be shitting me. Again, I would have loved it more if Bill would have thrown a knife into Cameron Diaz and then said, "You're spilling your cunny juice."
That implies that I guess I don't know where the cunny juice is coming from. Yeah. Because I get it. Because I've never had sex. You dirty bastard.
Daniel Day-Lewis chews through scenery like Chris Farley would chew his way through craft service tables.
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you state the
fact? He had an addiction to food and heroin.
And heroin.
And booze. And
who doesn't?
This film ended the same way Casino did. The only thing missing was De Niro saying, "And that's that." Credits.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I saw this in the theater. I loved it. I own it. On a recent rewatch, this meandered way too goddamn much for my liking. You realize you want way more DDL and way less Cameron Diaz.
Yes. I mean, totally. It's just like you're watching a master at his height of being a master, Daniel Day-Lewis, but the rest of it is just not awesome. Actually, kind of terrible.
Speaking of, besides Something About Mary, The Mask, and maybe Charlie's Angels, and maybe Vanilla Sky, Cameron Diaz's film's pretty terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
I don't think I'll be watching this again anytime soon. If I turn it on and it's a Bill the Butcher scene, I'm sticking with it. But I am bailing. This is too long. I have no problem with films being long as they flow. 30 to 45 minutes of this, whack it out. There are plenty of good scenes, but shit, this drags. Daniel Day-Lewis, by far and away the highlight. This is like if you took Michael Jordan in his prime and put him on today's Bulls, that is this film.
I'm not arguing.
6 out of 10. And it is because Daniel Day-Lewis is easily accounting for 3.5 points of this.
I've never seen anything like him. I will say this, and there will be blood.
Terrible.
He kind of steals from Bill the Butcher a little bit.
That film, I hate that film. We did in this very podcast.
There's a lot of Bill the Butcher in There Will Be Blood.
And that's a lot of the comparisons that we have done. Critics, 5-star reviews. You simply have to applaud the magnitude and ambition of Scorsese's vision. It is really New York conceived of on a grand scale. All right. I don't know if that's the right word there. Next one, Scorsese's Les Miserables. If I saw Les Miserables, I probably would agree. The whole...
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Like, I mean, I know what Les Miserables... But is that a criticism or a...
No, it's probably a parable to class struggle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's... And the scale of the movie.
The whole may not add up to the sum of its parts, but it's difficult to dismiss the brilliance of those parts. 100%. It's never less than compelling, driven by an overwhelming, larger-than-life performance by Day-Lewis and by Scorsese's grandiose historical imagination.
I agree with the
historical imagination. Historical imagination is an interesting term.
Right. And accurate, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of imagination.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Gangs of New York is one of those haunting failures. I can't get over it. It still gives me a pang every time I think of it. It seems so full of potential, just like my prom date.
Signed, not Bill Schultz.
You went to your prom, Bill. I know it. Gangs of New York is a dreadful film, poorly constructed, unconvincing, and deeply misanthropic. Yeah. Gangs of New York is to Fernando Wood's Manhattan what Fellini's Satyricon, I don't know, I'm butchering that, is to Nero's Rome, with a touch of Monty Python filth on the faces and clothes. This person is dying to show you their book collection at home.
No kidding. You know what I like? You know what I dislike more than Gangs of New York? That guy.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote that, I hate him more. That guy sucks.
I don't like the fight scenes in this film. It doesn't fit very well together. Well, neither do peanut butter banana sandwiches, but plenty of you savages still do it. So there. Amazon, 5-star reviews. This is not a movie with a trite, boring plot. With the same old revenge stuff we always see in all New York, this was the real New York. How do I know this? I am Irish for one thing. I am very proud to be Irish for another thing. Schultz is giving the hand jaw motion.
No, you're not. Your great-great-grandfather was Irish, buddy. Right. You're American. Shut the hell up.
Right, right. And blah, blah, blah. I have there's an Irish tribute band for the Pokes called the Dead Rabbits. I have a terrific image of a shirt that says the Dead Rabbits with the square in green around it. I love when assholes determine something is real because their race is featured in that film. Thanks for the insight, Patty McFreckle. Why is Leo in movies that are only over 2 hours long? I ain't mad about it. Signed, Prince William.
Weird.
I have good hearing. I have good hearing, but too much whispering. No need for it. Spoil the movie. Signed, Marley Matlin. That makes sense.
Wow. That's the best one.
This one's pretty fun too. If anyone in America wants to understand why the politics is the way the politics is, fantastic grammar, and why the Democrats behave the way they behave, this movie is right here going to explain to you why the Democrats are so in favor of immigration, and they don't care about illegal immigration, and they don't care about social services and giving away EBT and food stamps and all this stuff, and they also the Republicans promote war. Good God, man. Punctuation and syntax. You're going to learn a lot if you watch this movie. You may have to watch it 2 or 3 times to really get the message, but it is a great historical film.
No, it's not.
And his entire argument was stupid.
Yeah. This guy's never voted in his life, by the way.
Yeah, this is just another soapbox moment in Amazon land. Amazon 1-star reviews. If you like blood, gore, cussing, women depicted in disrespected ways, then this movie is for you.
Oh, God.
I call that Tuesday.
Yeah, it is disgusting and senseless. Nothing to redeem it. DiCaprio should have picked a better script, and the Raiders should have given it a XXX. Signed, Kate Moss.
Oh, my.
How's she doing?
She's got a daughter who's pretty cute, too, if you've seen that around.
After all that heroin.
This movie stunk. This is a good movie. This movie is a good example of huge aspirations with the budget to back them, but no coherent plot. Who are the heroes in this movie? What was their goal? What about DiCaprio's lower abdomen puncture? I guess it miraculously healed in the catacombs. This movie.
That was a wound.
Yeah. That's a kill. That's a kill.
Well, we learned that. Yeah.
Right.
This movie attempts to do so, but it first has to disregard the fact that it doesn't even show the gangs in a positive light. If you're going to root for the gangsters, you have to show why they're at least good guys, right? But no.
No, you don't.
It all shows DiCaprio, Lewis, and Diaz doing is robbing, stealing, killing, smoking opium, and fighting one another. How could you possibly care about these folks? Also, he miraculously healed from a knife wound to the lower abdomen, which in these days is almost guaranteed to provide you with a colostomy bag for the rest of your life. And at the end of the movie, he gets hamstrung on each leg by Lewis, but is somehow able to walk off without a limp.
Wow. Read more into it than I did.
Yeah, sorry. way.
Yeah.
Sorry, my son watches these types of movies, so he must like them. I want to be with him, so I watch also. I love music, color, and happy endings. I like happy endings, but I've never paid for one at a Jack Shack. How about you, boys? Yeah. You ever pay for a happy ending?
I don't like. I'm all for sad endings, and like as long as you know, getting to that horrible ending, that it is proven why that has to be a sad ending. I don't like. What would we even describe the ending of Gangs of New York? Another problem with it. Like I don't know. Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Kevin Israel, did Bill Schultz gut the sacred cow?
It was messy. It was disjointed. It was without much of a plot. A lot like Gangs of New York was.
I know. I saw it coming a mile away. You D word.
My comedy's not for everybody. But you know what? I think knowing Bill and speaking, being semi-literate and Billish, I think he did. I think he did prove that this movie is a bit of a mess. And I tip my non-existent stovepipe hat to you, sir.
I will let you wear it if you ever come forward with me. And also, and again, Israel, what a shame. Because it could have been awesome.
Yes, it could have
been. And like, that's the whole thing you get from this movie. It could have been awesome. And
much like New York City in the 1800s.
It could have actually been. No. Yeah. No, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. I will say this film did a lot of gutting in itself. All Bill did was walk a, that's a kill, one shot in there. That's a kill. By the way, it's really tough to take Bill seriously as has a top hat on and drinks a White Claw at the same goddamn time.
With our first thing, but like I'm reduced to this, man.
There's the Palm Springs coming out in you. Ugh.
It tastes like summer, guys. Does that sound like Bill the Butcher? Guys, it tastes like summer. Let's get rid of this Amsterdam guy.
Sounds like Bill's got a date with the Bowery Boys tonight.
Ooh.
Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel. We just had a grand gay old time tonight, didn't we, fellas? Oh.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Love having you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, folks. We appreciate it. Love you all. Talk to you soon. Later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.